Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. This Sunday, Pastor Chrissy's sermon was titled, Stewards of Grace.
There's something special about hearing those words echo around. You all should try that sometime, standing right here while everyone reads the words of Scripture. It's rather ironic that we released something in order to embrace something new. And I should have written it down because perfectionism is definitely something that your pastor needs to release every single day. And it's ironic that we read this scripture together on this day because the theme of the day is sharing in grace. What does it mean to share in the gospel? What does it mean to share in grace? Paul writes, I thank my God each time I remember you. And these words from Paul ring forth from pulpits across time and space as people gather for all kinds of special occasions, just like this one today, our Heritage Sunday. Other pulpits proclaim this same word. I thank my God each time I remember you for anniversaries, for homecomings, for revivals or Founders' Days. I've even heard them in final sermons before retirement or when the retired pastor comes home. I thank my God each time I remember you. These are the words every preacher wants to say on a momentous occasion like this one. I thank my God each time I remember you. It's not just preachers, though, who employ these words in life's more celebrated moments. These are easily found on greeting cards in the Hallmark section as we look for language to communicate and describe our deep friendships, our appreciation for one another, encouragement for one another after periods of distance or isolation or separation or loneliness. I thank my God each time I remember you. These words, they resonate deeply within our hearts as we ourselves remember today. We remember our origin stories, beginning with that Pentecost Sunday you heard April talking about just a moment ago, Pentecost of 1983, when Dr. Lewis issued the call from the pulpit at First Baptist Church, Raleigh. 17 people said yes, responding to God's call to found a new church in the growing suburbs of Northwest Raleigh. As you've heard already in the service today, those 17 were our founding members. Their names are in the bulletin, and soon they were joined by the charter members, whom we also remember today. Those who were early joiners and investors in the dream that would become Greystone Baptist Church. We thank our God each time we remember them. It is good and holy work to remember those early stewards of the dream that would become Greystone Baptist Church, though not a single one would ask for the personal attention. If you know who they are, they're probably blushing right now. But it is good for us to remember the spirit of their courage as they embarked on this totally new thing, all for the sake of the gospel call. God was beginning a new work among them. One of my favorite stories from this group of founding members is one that I learned in the days after Eileen Trawick passed away. As I was talking with one of her sons on the phone, I was kind of pacing around the columbarium area. It's where I get the best cell service on campus. So as I was walking and listening to the story, I heard this gem. It was from the early days of the church. He couldn't remember if y'all were meeting at the real estate office or at Ravenscroft School, but at some point in the early days, there was a meeting, and many had gathered to begin planning for the purchase of the land and the construction of the original sanctuary, which of course is where we started our worship service this morning. The moment of truth came when the conversation turned from the subject of planning and dreaming to the more practical subject of money and funding and turning this dream into a reality. Everyone in the room needed to commit so that the mission of the church could continue to grow and expand. Eileen and Bill Trawick were both at that meeting, Bill, of course, the breadwinner for the family, and Eileen, the mother of five active young men. I've heard this was no small task. Of course, Bill and Eileen were committed to the church. They had been from the very beginning, and they had proven their commitment over and over again through the gifts of time and service and financial support. But after this specific meeting, when the financial need had been discussed and the magnitude of that need was shared, there was a change in Eileen. Almost as soon as the meeting was over, I'm told, Eileen went out looking for a job outside the home. When her husband asked what this sudden change was about, she answered something like this. "Well, I signed my name on the line. I am committed now to building that church, and so I figured I better go out and start earning some money so I can pay my part." Eileen's story is a great story, but it isn't totally unique in the history of this place. No, the history of Greystone is a communal history. It is a shared project. It can truly be summarized by our favorite phrase of the mission statement, which says, "Every member is a minister." So maybe this story exists about Eileen so that we can tell it and challenge ourselves to embrace that spirit. But Eileen was not the only one who had to give something up in order to build and to grow this dream. This is a place where every member is a minister. This is a place where all are not only welcomed and loved and invited to worship, but this is a place where everyone contributes in order to watch the mission grow. Just like Paul says to and of the Philippians, here at Greystone, we have all shared in the gospel from the first day until now, and we all share in God's grace. Now, we all know that sometimes sharing in grace is easy, like showing up on Sunday morning, sitting in our favorite pews, singing the songs that bring us joy and comfort, and enjoying the fellowship of this family of faith. But sometimes we all know that sharing in grace is not so easy. Paul was clear about this in his letter to the Philippians as he praised them and thanked God for their willingness to share in God's grace with him. Whether he was imprisoned or traveling freely throughout the region, the church shared in grace with him. This shared grace, as Paul called it, is the same kind of grace that Dietrich Bonhoeffer calls costly grace. This grace, which is a gift from God, is so much more than a simple confession or a theological statement that we all adhere to. It is a gift from God that is so great that if we really do receive it, everything has to change. Bonhoeffer calls it costly grace because it literally costs us everything. That's what it means to follow Jesus, after all. To be a disciple, to share in the grace of the gospel, it means that we have to give everything else away. Our personal preferences, our desires for things to remain unchanged. Maybe we need to give away anger or bitterness about things that have happened in the past in order for us to move on. You all know what you wrote on your cards. We have to give away our feelings of inadequacies. Maybe some of us need to give away our fears, our anxieties, our annoyances, our worries. Whatever it is that keeps us from boldly and courageously sharing in the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ together, it all has to be released in order for grace to renew this world. Those who are familiar with Bonhoeffer's story know that his experience of grace, his understanding of costly grace, it cost him everything, even his life. Having received an invitation to teach at Union Theological Seminary in New York and avoid the horrors of Nazi Germany, Bonhoeffer chose to return home. To suffer alongside the Jews and other marginalized people, it was Bonhoeffer's understanding of costly grace, of sharing in that grace, that compelled him to give everything away, following Jesus all the way to the cross. Eileen Trawick's story wasn't the same as Dietrich Bonhoeffer's. No one's story is the same as Eileen's or as Dietrich Bonhoeffer's. But in her own way, Eileen gave up everything in order to share the grace of God here in this place for the sake of the gospel. Our founding and charter members understood the mission: to build a church in and for this neighborhood in Northwest Raleigh. They believed that the people who called this place home needed a place to encounter God, to grow in faith, and to allow their whole lives to be transformed by the love of God that they would encounter here. They were the recipients of God's grace, and they lived to share it with others. This is what it means to be stewards of grace, partners with God in the work of grace, which is trying to unfold in the world, people who proclaim the good news of God's love, not just in word, but also in deed. This is our heritage, and this is our calling as we honor the past and look forward to our future together with God. We are recipients of grace, and so what will we do with this tremendous gift? Preaching professor Fred Craddock reminds us that the Greek word for grace is very similar to the Greek word for gratitude. In fact, the two are so similar that Paul often uses them interchangeably in his letters. Interestingly, though, in our translations, when the action is from God to us, the translators often use the English word grace. But when the action is from us to God, they choose the word gratitude. Perhaps this is because when a gift like grace is given, a gift that is so full of mercy that it is able to redeem the whole world and free us all from the things that enslave us, the things like selfishness and greed, prejudice and violence, self-doubt and insecurity, loneliness and ego, whatever it is that keeps us confined, when God acts in grace, we are transformed by love. And the only thing that we can do with it is to give thanks by spending the rest of our lives sharing in grace, and not the cheap kind that exists only in our words or in our private confessions or in religious ceremonies, but the kind of grace that costs us everything because it plays out in our whole lives. Friends, I want you to look around. Really, not just at me, look around. Let your eyes take in the beauty of this place. Look through the windows and see the landscape. Look at the stones. Look at the wood. Look at the windows. And then look at your neighbor, the one who sits next to you on the pew. Look to the right and the left. Look across and around the room. Listen to the noises that you hear. These are the gifts of grace. These are the gifts given to us and entrusted to us by God. These are the gifts of God which others have shared. These are the gifts of grace which are now ours to steward. Y'all, there's still a great need for a church on this corner and in this neighborhood. There is a need for all the people who call this neighborhood home, for all who live in our growing city, for all who are seeking a place where they might be welcomed and loved and invited, a place where they might come and encounter God and grow in faith and be transformed by the love that they experience here. And so the call remains today the same as it was in 1983. God's grace is flowing forth in this world. God's grace is breaking through in this city, in this neighborhood, and in this very spot. Can you perceive it? Will you receive it? And most importantly, perhaps, are you willing to share it? Amen.